So now we're right into Mary again for a report on master plans, and I'm also going to do a cue set for this one. Mary's probably not going to speak to me after this meeting, but that's okay. Sometimes you're just not here. Sometimes you're not here long enough to communicate. So, but I know that both Chester, Dr. Finn, and Dr. Steiner and I had some very lengthy discussion at the Kerwin Commission last Thursday, I believe it was, and part of it will eventually, I think, impact the master planning process. So I just kind of want to speak about the elephant in the room, because this may not be the last word on master plans, is kind of what I'm saying, and certainly Dr. Finn and Dr. Steiner can chime in. But what was discussed as a potential recommendation is that school systems would develop what I called, when I talked to superintendents on Friday, and Renee can guarantee that I said this, I call them super-duper master plans, where they would be tied to increased funding for programs like additional pre-K, CTE, some of the recommendations that are going to potentially come out of the Kerwin Commission. And that's really not fleshed out yet, but I wanted the board to be aware that it's being discussed, and that may impact the master planning process that we are going to talk about today. Now, probably not next year, but in future years, it may be something that is developed that some other board may then review to allocate funding. So that's all in the works, and I just wanted to lay it out there. And I don't know if Dr. Steiner or Dr. Finn want to add to that or not.
Thank you. It would be premature, I think, to assume the end of the commission's deliberations, but a very quick update just to amplify on what you said is the idea here would be a cascading set of policies. By cascading, I mean some would be prioritized and would come early in the process. And the various counties would have the option of adopting those policies. That adoption and the plan for implementation would be subject to an independent board or panel who would green light the appropriate funding once they'd approved the plans. The idea then would be that there would be extra funding for education, pre-K-12 in the state of Maryland, but that much of that extra funding would be subject to the various counties getting approval for the expenditure of those extra funds, linked in each case to a particular policy implementation. I think that one I would add to your list, because it seemed to create a great deal of support across the commission, was this idea of moving the key high school assessment to 10th grade, after which students would either have 2 years to pass that assessment if they hadn't done so, or would have a very rigorous CTE option, or would have options of AP, Advanced Placement, International Baccalaureate, dual enrollment programs, or advanced elective coursework for college readiness. So that, I think, is a proposal that seemed to engender widespread support, and that's not about funding, but it is, I think, worth reporting.
Good.
Just 2 points very quickly. The master planning would turn from sort of an elaborate and extensive and burdensome paper chase into an actually kind of dynamic activity that has rewards and sanctions attached to it, which it has not had in the past. And then second point is that the Kerwin Commission is not a lawmaking body. It is a recommending body. If its recommendations follow in the direction they're currently headed, this board and the legislature and the governor are going to have a lot of work ahead of them with respect to the many different programmatic, budgetary, regulatory, and statutory things that would have to change in order for the recommendations to come to pass in the real world. So this is also kind of a forewarning that it's not just the master plans that are here. Sure. There's a lot of work ahead if this comes to pass.
Right. So now, Mary, you can talk about what the recommendations are for the current upcoming year, and just have that's in your, in the mindset that we might be seeing some changes in the future. So thank you, Mary.
Certainly. I'm going to go quickly. This is just some background, and I'll go directly to the recommendations for you. But first, the requirement of this House Bill 999. This reporting is actually, and what's the bill, is actually the Commission on Innovation and Excellence in Education. What we were required to do was contained in that particular bill. It required us to convene a group of stakeholders, which we have done, and these are representatives from the local school systems, to review current statutory and regulatory requirements of the master plan. But I want to throw out another item, which is going to be, I think, could potentially be linked to the master plan, which we've been talking about for months, and that's the new requirements of the federal law of ESSA. So in terms of, we all know that we've been working for a year and a half on the state consolidated plan, but in this school year, the local school systems will have their consolidated plan. And as you move forward, it will be interesting to see on Karen's, as you mentioned, the super duper master plan, mm-hmm. what we can do to combine the requirements of what will be part of ESSA. And ESSA will be tied to all of the decisions that you made. And then secondarily, we needed to report to the State Board, the Commission, and the General Assembly by October 1. And what those recommendations master plan should contain, and how they could be in digital format. And we really had a lot of discussions about that. So the committee really believes that they should be forward facing, they should be aligned with ESSA, and that we should eliminate duplication. That's been one of the concerns of our local school systems, where they may have a strategic plan, they have a master plan, now they're going to have an ESSA plan. What can we do? Secondly, that it would contain those strategic plans, the goals, objectives, and whatever came out of the Kerwin Commission, that we would preserve the strategic nature of the plans, but that it would be tied to their own work and their own strategic work, and certainly the financial piece. The timeline is a discussion. Now, this group did a recommendation for the master plan is always tied to tied to finances and the money that they receive and how they're moving that money forward to get improvement of student performance. But sometimes, because of the timeline, not sometimes, yearly, because of the timeline, the data is not always available at the October timeframe. So if it were forward-facing, there was discussion on the committee to do that after the first of the year. I know there's concerns about that, and I think that what the local school system said, they had great debate on whether it should be October or January or February or when it should be, because of the data and the data availability. And they base in the end, really, I think, although they went with January and February, they said we will work with whatever date it becomes due on. But what we wanted to do was decrease the lag time for data so that we would have data, the most recent data to use, as opposed to having to lag it a year or probably two previously. They wanted to know about a digital format and what they would really like to see. If we're looking at, for example, you just made major decisions on academic achievement or on growth or on EL. If their work was tied to that, they would like it to be tied in some way electronically so that where their data is, they could upload strategies. That would take work, potentially funding. We would have to see what we could do, and probably without funding. But to give the local school systems access to something that they could go on where their data was and load their strategies. And they wanted to be able to not necessarily do it at one point, but they wanted to be able to have more fluidity that they could put strategies that they were working on onto that site so that you would have that anyone could go in and take a look at the strategies that the school system had to improve. How that would tie to the recommendations of Kerwin, I think that would be an important thing to move forward.
And just to add a note, I presented some of this information to superintendents who were very, very supportive of having a digital reporting format and also one that could be updated as their data data is delivered. And as you know, it's scattered throughout the year. And if for their plans to be more forward-thinking, it makes sense not only to change the date, but also to be able to upload this information and not rewrite the whole thing again. And I think that was a point Dr. Finn was talking about. We need to make sure that we're using our time wisely with these kinds of planning processes.
And last, this is really what Dr. Salmon just said. What can we do in order to provide the grant information, the budget information, the additional documents? As you know, they also have to provide how the funding goes from the state, from the local to the schools, and what all of those funding pieces are. So these are the recommendations which of this committee, but I believe that they continue to be fluid. They continue to be moving as further decisions are made. The important thing, we all, most of us came from local school systems. We want to make sure that we don't put undue burden, that we don't ask for the same thing in a variety of different ways, that we even take the federal Title I, Title II, Title III, Title IV applications, and if there's a needs assessment, instead of we've really worked as a committee to ask for one needs assessment, that the school system could do and then could identify their strategy. So that's really been the work of this committee. And I think that they're, you know, it's not like, oh, we've got these three things, we can implement them based on all the different moving parts. We would like the recommendations to move them together.
For what it's worth, it just seems to me that there are like two different questions that master plans could answer, and they're at odds with one another. And, I mean, it's worth pointing out that I think the committee of the 30 members, 22 of them were from local school systems. What is on their mind, probably, if I worked for a school system, is how do I get the state off my back? How do we make sure that they don't make us do a 1,400-page report telling us what to do, and it's just like a paper chase? That's completely logical. That's rational. On the other side, where I'm sitting, is the state provides to districts billions of dollars every single year, and we have these test results we're going to look at. There are lots and lots of kids in the state who are not getting what they need. So there's like an accountability responsibility here, and I think of master plans as the time that the state needs to get tough and actually say, if we're going to give you billions of dollars, we want to see results from it. So the tension I feel here is, as a state, I seldom think that we should be telling districts what to do. I want to hold them accountable for whether or not they're getting the results, and it seems to me that the master plan does both things really badly. It puts a lot of burdens on districts to fill out a lot of different paperwork, but at the same time, we're just doing input, saying do this, do that, and not really holding them accountable for results. So I just find the master plan process currently really frustrating. I don't know. Anyone else want to sort of weigh in on this?
As somebody who read one of those 1,400-page master plans, actually, I won't confess to having read the whole thing. Sorry, Shula, and sorry, Betty, but I didn't read the whole thing. But I tend to agree that there's – I found it frustrating looking at the local master plan because there was so much in it. And then as a board member for the whole rest of the year, you'd ask a question about something the system's doing, and the answer was, what's in the master plan? Well, that's not a document that's terribly transparent to the leadership. I mean, maybe it is to the superintendent, but it certainly wasn't to the local board. I know it wasn't to the public. And maybe it's not intended to be. But I think there has to be a component of it that provides some more clarity for all people who have an interest in the system, and maybe the suggestions that you're making will take us in that direction. You said that it's tied to finances, which I understand the history of the Bridge to Excellence and et cetera, but I mean, has somebody's master plan, has an LEA's master plan ever been used to deny them funding for something? I mean, has the department or any entity ever looked at their master plan and looked at their results and say, you know what, your master plan doesn't support what you say you're going to do, or it doesn't support what the Bridge to Excellence Act requires, so you're not going to get the funding that you're asking for? Right. Has that ever happened?
So I have a couple of different responses, and then Christy, I don't know if you – do you have – you want it? I
mean, the easy answer is no. We don't have the authority to withhold funding. We do ask a series of questions after reviewing the master plan. If we do see something that, you know, their funding priorities aren't aligned with instructional priorities. We do ask those probing questions, but the reality is that the master plan does not have the teeth to withhold money from a local school system.
Right. And I, whether it should or not, it's a larger governance question. I get that, but it seems to me that it really isn't tied to finances right now. I mean, it's almost a box you have to check as the local system. Did we file our master plan?
Well, I think your point is very valid, and I think that's one of the reasons why this group said it should be tied to the strategic plan in the school system, which hopefully is tied to their accountability, to their data and everything else, because it was like sometimes systems were creating two plans, one to check off the box and one as their strategic plan to guide their work in the district. And it really needs to be one, and it needs to be, the public needs to be part of those stakeholders that weighed into that plan, et cetera. So I think part of it is to change it into that document. But, this thing of having I remember it was reported to me as a local superintendent that one of the counties came in, delivered their master plan on a trolley. I mean, it was just huge boxes and boxes. I mean, no one can, that's not workable. So you
right,
make
I,
valid
I
points, and we really do need to find something that's workable and streamlined, usable, understandable, transparent. And maybe it's tied, as we said, with the ESSA to the accountability plan. But without that legal ability to withhold funding, you really don't have a lot of teeth in what are you going to do.
Right. Press in the room, I'm not suggesting that
Got
we
it.
Should be able to hold funding, but withhold funding, that's a question for other
sure.
people to decide. But I think it should be a document that can at the same time breathe life into the day-to-day work of a system,
Right. But
at the same time provide this department a mechanism for holding them accountable for what they do. And I'm not sure that it does
right. I think
of that right now.
I think that's what we're all kind of thinking, at least I'm interpreting Andy and Justin as there has to be some accountability. No one's talking about the locals not having autonomy, but again, we're going to hit some test results in a few minutes, and there has to be some accountability.
I do want to just mention that the plan was significantly reduced both last year and this year based on legislation. So it was very, very streamlined to just looking at content areas and student groups. So that was heard loud and clear, and that was part of the legislation. But it was also part that for last year and this year's master plan. I think the challenge is tying everything together, and just another mention is the committee that worked looked at every LEA that they submitted to give us a sample, looked at their strategic plans, and we sat in small groups and went through. The strategic plans across the 24 LEAs are very different, and the committees in some ways at times said it's forward facing, both of them should be, but this is kind of what we do, and they've created a document that is for them. And so they were trying to grapple with those two, what their superintendents wanted to put forward and what was. So I think those challenges, there's a lot of challenges that you've all mentioned that have been on the minds of the committees, and really look forward to how we can adapt. But without question, it has to be something that nobody on a trolley gives. because when I first came, I was reviewing some of those. They're not all as big as they used to be.
Dr. Snyder?
I think you were first.
Okay. Pastor Phillips?
I was just going to agree with everyone's sentiment. I mean, I think, burdens can sometimes come in pretty packages. And, master plans sound wonderful. But at the end of the day, if there's no accountability attached to the master plan, then it's a burden. It's a burden to parents, it's a burden to students, it's a burden to districts, because it gives them extra work, it gives you extra work, but no one is accountable to the outcome. So we have to have a system that's accountable.
Thank you.
So there are a couple of things here. First, it's a deep conundrum, this accountability issue, because if a district does poorly, there are two contradictory impulses. The first is to help them more, and the second is to say, you should have done better, therefore we're going to punish you. And distinguishing which of those two should carry the greater weight is something that's bedeviled American education for decades, and it's probably something we should talk about because it underlies the whole logic or lack of logic and accountability. And the second is that as a relative newcomer to this board and this state, I confess that while I know by heart in New York the legislative capacities to withhold flow-through monies of various kinds or to act as an interference agent, that is to take federal money, for example, and use it for competitive grant purposes rather than for block grants. I'm not well educated, perhaps everyone else on the board is, as to what the board's legal authority is to withhold money of any kind from whatever source, whether it be federal or state. And I confess I would actually enjoy a rapid, deep education in that regard, and perhaps if anyone else on the board is in my situation, they would enjoy that too.
Any other questions here? So, I mean, it sounds like people are of this mind that this is a burden, and the only way the burden is worth it is if there's actually some accountability tied to it, like the state can do it. I find myself saying, well, if we're not going to hold you accountable anyway, why would I have you spend probably the hundreds of hours putting together this plan at the local level and then doing reports on it, if it doesn't mean anything other than a paper chase, what's the utility in it? So we have no action item on this, right? This
right.
is going to be the Kerwin Commission.
Right.
For your information.
Okay. So accountability. All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.